So here we are as the week begins. And it is a privilege to be able to take the time to stop, to reflect. And some of us are sure that God is here. And some of us don't know what the word God actually means. And some people we know are busy working in hospitals and shops, driving taxis. And for some of us, somebody is at home preparing our food. But we have the privilege to be here. So we wait for you, whoever you are. And some of us have lives that others would recognize as being hard. And some of us are in need of your justice, O God. And some of us are self-obsessed and in need of your challenge to forget ourselves and to consider others. So here we are, thirsty for wisdom, glad to be gathered. Thank you, whoever you are. And with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in this town, in this country, in our world and through time, we offer our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we join to say the prayer that he taught his disciples to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Yes, I love it when a plan comes together. Thank you, Jesus, it worked. Now, today we are going to be considering the story of the wise and foolish young women, some of whom had enough oil and were able to replenish their lamps, and some of them, their lamps went out. A visual aid that works. So we have some candles, was enough wax, and some of them there wasn't enough, so it went out. However, the interesting thing actually is not about the candles, but it's about the candle holders. These candle holders are really special. We brought them back from our visit to Israel-Palestine, where we went to visit Palestinian Christians to say hello. And these were made, they're from Bethlehem, and they were made out of their glass. And when the Israeli tanks went into Bethlehem, there was a lot of destruction and a lot of broken glass. And in the Bethlehem Peace Center, they took the glass and they made these beautiful things. The oil that we need to keep on going, to grow and to develop as people, does not come from the easy things of life. It comes from the challenges of life, the difficult things. In your life, with the difficult things that happen to you, are you going to be able to turn them into something beautiful? And then, we can let our light shine. I'm going to sing a song and we're all going to sing it. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah forevermore. So it's, yeah, and it's peace and then it's love and then it's, is it peace, love, joy? I'll look over my spun. Love, joy, peace. Okay. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Hallelujah forevermore. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. Hallelujah forevermore. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah forevermore. Excellent practice. Now you can stand up and sing it properly. Hey! He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. He came down that we may have love. Hallelujah for... Why did he come? He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. He came down that we may have joy. Hallelujah for... Why did he come? He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. He came down that we may have peace. Hallelujah forevermore. We're in an unusual position in our church at the moment where we have three weddings in the church community, which is a lot for us. Do you know what? There was a day when somebody as long in the tooth as me, you did loads of weddings, but that was before the Anglicans could start marrying divorced people. Now, our niche in the wedding market is gone, but that's irrelevant. That's just me moaning, actually me celebrating, but enough. Anyway, we have three. And one of the things that, having been the mother of the bride last year, one of the many things that were different from Hannah's wedding to mine was that then you just got an invite and you went. But now you send people a keep the date thing. A little card arrives that says, keep this date Save the date. Save the date cards. That's right. You see, Trev and Joanne nodding at the back. Save the date. And then you get the invite. So there's a time when you know it's going to happen and you're waiting. And that is a helpful picture in listening to this scripture. So that the bride, the groom know that they're going to get married and it's going to happen and they're just waiting. They're waiting. Quite often for a British wedding, you wait for the bride. In the Palestinian Israeli community, you wait for the groom. And there's some of the scholars think that's because, in this story, they reckon that they were waiting so long because of the complexity of the negotiations about the dowry. Waiting for the bridegroom. And Alan Oscroft will read this passage to us.
The reading is taken from Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The parable of the 10 girls. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there were 10 girls who took their oil lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and the other five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any extra oil with them, while the wise ones took containers full of oil for their lamps. The bridegroom was late in coming, so the girls began to nod and fall asleep. It was already midnight when the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come and meet him." The 10 girls woke up and trimmed their lamps. Then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Let us have some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." "No, indeed," the wise ones answered, "there is not enough for you and for us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." So the foolish girls went off to buy some oil, and when they were gone, the bridegroom arrived. The five girls who were ready went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was closed. Later, the other girls arrived. "Sir, sir, let us in," they cried. "Certainly not. I don't know you," the bridegroom answered. And Jesus concluded, "Be on your guard then, because you do not know the day or the hour."
So your life is okay. You're mooching through your life. It's okay. It's all right. And if you needed any more oil, you could just go and buy some. And it's fine. It's not a problem. And then in an instant, your life changes forever. And if you don't believe me, though I know you all do, think about those people who were driving home using the M5 on Friday. When will you be there? Oh, about half an hour. See you. Bye. Everything changes. And those reserves that you have accumulated, you need to draw upon. And it can be, in a sense, this message is not necessarily a Christian message at all. In a sense, because you need reserves of maturity, you need reserves of character, and you need to build them up. What's the interesting Christian message is the way, what we would say about how you build them up. One day, you will have to draw on those reserves The question for all of us is, do you have a supply? Some people find this story a very harsh one. Why will the wise ones not share with the foolish? Why is it that you should expect that you would have enough? The answer is, this is big, serious, grown-up message. This isn't for beginners. This is big, serious stuff. The message of this story is, ultimately, you are going to have to face this on your own. You may have good friends. You may have a fabulous partner. You may have wise children. But ultimately, at some stage, you are going to be on your own. So the context of the story, as the story is that the bridegroom and the bride are to be wed, and there's just a small matter of the dowry negotiations, and there's a bit of complexity, and it's more time consuming than is usual and is expected. So what would happen is the bride would come, and the bridegroom would be led around by people with flaming torches, and you'd have to have some oil to top up your torch, but you know how long it was going to take, because it usually takes about this long, and on this occasion it doesn't. It takes much, much longer. And the way the wedding started was when the bridegroom arrived so the party could start. But they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, and the fuel runs out because it all takes longer than they were expecting. Being in it for the long haul. That's one of the messages of the story. Not being flash and quick and easily burnt out. One of the good things about the church is that we are in it for the long haul. We are in a community for the long haul. There are times when in an area everybody else has gone and the church is all that's left. That we are not people who are, in Britain today, nobody cares about us. They all think we're idiots. But we are in it for the long haul. We're doing what we can. Can't do everything, but we do what we can, and we keep on doing what we can. We keep on living our truth, spreading our love, welcoming, caring, doing what we can for the long haul. And when I think about these sorts of things, I think two things. I think one, we need to remember that our resources are infinite. Is that the sound of the treasurer fainting at the back? Our resources are infinite. And the other thing I'm reminded of is those old Russian women? You know, the church is illegal, they're changing the buildings into museums. But still, those old Russian women who kept the church going in those days of persecution, a handful of them in every town, and they would be there faithfully doing what they did and looking like they were nearly dead themselves, keeping this thing that everybody else thought was a complete waste of time, and yet they kept that thing going, that flame of that faith. Or those countries where it's against the law for there to be conversion. And the church does what it does in terms of its behavior. Can't talk about Jesus in words. So you have to do what you do as well as you can do. Those areas where they see no growth in their church and they still keep on going for the long haul. Right, so that's one thing. Keep on going. Waiting and waiting, but keep on doing. The other thing is, why wouldn't they share their oil? because they need it themselves. They couldn't have done their job. They needed it themselves. It does not help. If you, say, for example, you're ministering to somebody who's mentally ill, and you find it just too much. Just too much. It doesn't help them for you to become unwell too. You have to say, thanks, it's good, I'll see you tomorrow. And you have to leave. You need your oil. It doesn't help for you both to become unwell. Or you've got a family crisis going on and you've got a chaotic member of the family and you're having to, you know, give them resources and money and, you know, poor money, giving them money. It doesn't help if your house is repossessed. Doesn't mean you have got to be generous, but you need your oil. Sometimes, though, when that happens, it's not helpful to tell people that, remind them of that. It doesn't add to the sum of human kindness. There are some things you just keep to yourself. But for each of us, it's an important lesson. The message of the story is about individual responsibility. There are things that are going to happen. And if they haven't happened to you yet, they will happen to you one day. We're going to get ill. Things go well. We're going to get old. We're going to die. And we need resources to face that. So, my friends, what does building up resources to face these things look like? What does it feel like? How do you do it? The answer is, it's going to be uncomfortable. That's where you build up those resources. You don't build up those resources having an easy, moochy life. It's not how it is. You build up those resources in the grit and the rub and the face of challenge. That's how you build up those resources. So, some examples. Sitting talking to somebody and planning the funeral, her funeral, not somebody else's, her own funeral. What they're going to do with your body? And the faith of what that conversation means. Yeah, I can take that on. I can have that conversation. Or, yeah, I can. Could you do that piece of work? Yes, I can do that piece of work. And one of the reasons why I can do that piece of work is because I've been doing some studying. Not about the particular piece of work, but I've been doing some studying. So that means I've turned off the television. I've left my house, or I've got some books, and I've spent some money, and I've spent some time, and I've been doing some studying, and so I can. Or another, and I'm sure you can think of them as well. And the other one, which is an old woman who loved whiskey and would have one tot of whiskey a week on a Sunday, because she did not want to become dependent upon it. And the strength of character, one tot of whiskey once a week because she didn't want to become dependent on it. And the in her nursing home, she didn't want to become dependent on it. And how the staff viewed her because of her strength of character. Say, no, I love it. It's gorgeous. Sunday, one tot. Thank you very much. That'll do for me. And that self-discipline that says no to my flesh. So, readiness, resource is an individual matter. We can help each other in the Christian life, but we have to take responsibility for our own personal spiritual resources that at that time, when that thing happens, we will have to draw upon. And this table says, come and eat with us. Come and drink with us. Come and be fed by the Lord Jesus. Even when you don't have the words, come and be fed. Come and have bread. Come and have wine. Come and have rest. And come and give your time and your energy to try to discern the Lord Jesus, his cross, his resurrection, in this experience. So let us pray. For those who have had a shocking weekend, drivers and passengers, ambulance crews, and firefighters, the police, and those involved in the maintenance of motorways, and also hoteliers, people in houses nearby, people waiting for phone calls. And for those who are going to have a shocking week, though they do not know it yet. Lord Jesus, give us the power to keep on going. To keep on doing what we believe to be right. And we pray for those whose pictures we've seen, whose stories we've heard about this week. We pray for those who we know that we're concerned about. We pray for ourselves. And we bring it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. We join to pray. Lord God, we bring to you the ordinary things of life, food and drink and money, and with them we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. Accept the praise we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. And if you're using paper, it's in the book at number 47. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Merciful God, you make each of us welcome at your table, and we are glad to be here. We know that we have not earned our place through good works or through devotion and faith. We know that we have no right to any special favour. We haven't reserved a seat or a ticket. We are here because you welcome us. You make a space for us and offer the gift of ourselves, yourself, to us. Give us grace. That we may discern you here. Save us from being presumptuous and arrogant. And thank you for Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. And we pray in his name. Amen. We believe that everybody is welcome at this table. If you would rather not receive the bread and the wine for your own reasons, then that's completely acceptable. And so when the elders bring the bread and the wine to you, you just pass the elements by, and that's completely fine. If you're a person who has issues with alcohol, then the good news is there's no alcohol in this wine. And if you are a person that has issues with gluten and wheat, good news as well, for on these plates you'll see that there is a biscuit, and that is for you. Here again, the narrative of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as Jesus offered a prayer of thanks, let us join to pray. Let us pray. Jesus, on that terrible night, facing the consequences of your ministry, you did not relish the thought of sacrifice, but faced it with deep sorrow and the natural dread of any human being. In your distress, you took bread as though to say, "Look, look, this is my body." You poured out wine as though to say, "Look, look, this is my blood." So we eat and drink, remembering your dread and your sorrow, remembering that you give us strength to bear our own grief and our own loneliness. Remembering can remind us of love we owe to our suffering neighbours. And so we praise and we honour you for daring to bear such a cruel death. And we thank you for your challenge to be ready to live, to die for you. So pour out your Spirit on these gifts, that they would remind us and sustain us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it. "This is my body," he said. "It is broken, even for you." He took the cup, wine poured out, and said, "This is my blood. It's shed, even for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. When you get the bread, if you wish to, would you eat it? When you get the wine, would you hold it? And then we will all drink together. This bread as a symbol of me and my relationship with God. The wine, this is us and our relationship together as followers of Jesus, the body of Christ. the blood of Christ. Let us pray. For feeding us at your table, we give you thanks. For reminding us of the things that are eternal, we praise you. It is not always comfortable. It is, though, where there will be ultimate peace. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is going to be number 400 and I'm fumbling, is it five or six? Five. Angel Voices Ever Singing, and it has been chosen by Alan and Helen Johnson as a thanks to God that they're back among us after Helen's operation, and thank you to all those people who have supported them. So we join to sing, and they would say, you know, to the praise of God, that God has been with them in this difficult time. Angel Voices Ever Singing. To serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, for now, forever. Amen.